But if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're a warrior. We're all warriors, but if you're aware of the fact that you're a warrior, you realize in that room, even though everyone is drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, here, drink this, you know that you don't want to do it. And you also know that you not wanting to do it is actually because you know it's not going to benefit you or anyone else for you to drink the Kool-Aid. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Let It Flow podcast. I'm your host, Taryn, and I'm really, really, really happy that you're here listening to this episode. This episode is unique in the fact that I think it's something that literally anyone who listens today can relate to because it's addressing something that we're dealing with on a global scale that's affecting all of us right now. And I was not planning on making an episode about this issue at all. I actually have never planned a podcast episode less than this one, but I was talking to a friend and this conversation came up and I realized that through having the opportunity to express my feelings on this topic and my personal observations, it was actually serving as medicine for myself, for my own fears, because I realized that in choosing to avoid talking about the issue completely, because I really do believe that when we talk about something and we focus on it, that it grows. When we give attention to something, it grows. It becomes a bigger thought form, and then it becomes a bigger manifestation. We confirm our own beliefs just by believing them, and then we'll see the evidence in our environment. And so I don't want to contribute to basically the mass hysteria, the craze that is so obviously feeding this virus that is growing, and the fear is just adding fuel to the fire. It's literally like pouring lighter fluid on top of a fire that's already alive. And so I want to do everything I can to not add to that. But I was realizing yesterday, right before I recorded this podcast, that my personal feelings on the subject are actually not coming from a place of fear. And vibrationally, I can feel the truth to that, but I also recognize that that's very unique in the sense that I haven't talked to many people at all who I see that reflected back to me. And in speaking my truth, I realized that instead of just either ignoring it when people talked about it or redirecting the conversation, that there's actually power in being able to approach this from what I consider to be what feels like a very clear state of being, a place of no fear. And I realized that from this place of no fear, I actually can talk about this virus because the negativity won't suck me in. And the more that I speak my truth, hopefully you'll hear this and it'll inspire the same feeling in you, but the more that I speak my truth, the more that grows and that becomes stronger for me. My alignment with love and with awareness that everything is okay, everything is actually going exactly as it's meant to, or it wouldn't be happening this way. And connecting with that feeling is just pure medicine. It feels good to say it, to hear myself say it is to strengthen my own awareness of its truth, to feel it resonate at deeper levels of my own being. My sister and my friend, the two people that I've had an extended conversation with this about, both agreed that it was comforting to them as well to hear this perspective and to hear it completely looked at from a way that is not what you're going to find in the news, not what you're going to find on social media, not what you're going to hear at the grocery store. This is a very different perspective, but I got off the phone with my friend and was feeling so inspired to make this podcast. I was on my lunch break between classes at school, at college, and I just pulled out my phone and recorded it. And this was such a flow. There was no planning involved. It was like, it basically just fell out of me, this podcast. And I'm really excited that you're listening to this because it feels it feels like it came from such a clear place. There have been outbreaks of the virus in many places, including my hometown. So if for no one else, this podcast episode is for my little sister, who's in the throes of it right now, experiencing a lot of distress around her, just as many people in the world are. I love you, Carly. Let this just be a reminder that perspective is reality. The only thing that you can ever believe to be your reality is what you're seeing, and then what you're choosing to interpret from what you're seeing. And you call that reality. And then there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we all do. That's what my reality is too. But you have more power than you think, because your perspective is something that you selectively shape from the infinite amount of information and awareness and subjects to focus on, content, manifestations, people, from the infinite amount of things, of vibrational aspects around you. You do get to choose what shapes your perspective. And so really the only control that you have, which this whole virus is about control, the whole fear is about everyone feeling as though there's a lack of control and they're not in control of their lives anymore. But the control, I like the word power better, the power that you have is whether or not you want to live in heaven or hell. If this virus is meant to come into your life and it's on its way to you, again, I don't think that's the case. I'm not wishing that for you, and I honestly don't think it's as big of a thing. It just has gained a lot of mass hysteria. But the only control that you have is not whether or not it comes into your town. It's whether or not you live in heaven or hell. And that perspective, that choice of everything's okay or the world is burning, that choice right there, that will shape your action. That will shape your thought, the way you speak to others, the way you either contribute fuel to the fire or you add the beautiful water that begins to extinguish the fear. That's your choice, and that will shape everything else. And really what that will shape is your experience, which is the only thing we're here for anyways, is just a life experience. So do you want to live the next couple months, the next few months, while this becomes a thing, while it grows, because we're adding fuel to it, while it grows around you, do you want to be hysterical too? Or would you like to choose to have a different perspective? If you're thinking that perhaps your mind and heart might be even just a sliver of the way open to a new perspective, I really encourage you to listen to this episode until the end. I hope that this can be medicine for you, as it was for me, as it was for the few souls that I've shared this with previously. And thank you so much for tuning in. You are a warrior, you're strong, and everything is so, so, so okay. And you are so incredibly taken care of. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy this episode. There's a good chance that you've had a conversation with somebody, probably multiple conversations with multiple somebodies today, about the collective fear vibration that is moving through human consciousness right now. You might be thinking, I don't think I've had that conversation today. But energetically speaking, that's all that anybody's talking about. At least so it seems when you go out in public to the grocery store, go to school, work, talk to your family, turn on the TV and flip through the news stations, scroll on your phone, check your email, look through any form of social media, text messages. The collective vibration is one of fear. When people begin to tell themselves stories in their minds, to work themselves into a state of distress about things going on in their own lives, feelings of powerlessness and hopelessness, fear of the government or the global climate, both literally and metaphorically speaking, the things that are happening on our planet, natural disasters, the things that are happening politically with people, the changes and the disagreements, the threat of war, the assassinations, the crime rates, the murders. When we focus on those negative things, they expand. And collectively, we've been telling ourselves a story for a long time now that if we focus on them, if we just focus on what is quote-unquote true, then somehow we'll be able to overcome it by expressing how wrong we think it is and expecting the world to then conform to our own belief systems. But when we vibrate at this vibration of fear for long enough, that fear begins to build momentum. The laws of the universe are such that if something has a strong enough energetic vibration behind it, enough momentum, so to speak, enough of a pull, enough attention, then it will begin to manifest. When I close my eyes, I can see how this fear in the collective, this increase in the overall temperature of the global situation has begun to build and build and build all across planet Earth. And when I see this energetic vibration, malicious, almost like a red mass moving through the consciousness, I see how this began to take a physical manifested form, just as anything else does when given enough attention. The manifestation of this is coronavirus. Everything that I've observed in my life, within my own heart, in the external world, all the soul searching and the research, the awareness, the expansion that I've achieved in my own life has led me to a place where, in the moment, I do not believe that anything happens by accident. The harmony of the cosmos, the music of the spheres, as they call it, everything is working out divinely. Everything is orchestrated. Everything is guided by a loving hand, whether or not we believe it's loving, that put us on this planet and put this planet in this solar system, created the timelines of humanity, the souls that were here, the souls that have left, everything that they've done. The coronavirus itself isn't an accident, but rather it's a direct reflection of the energy of the mass consciousness. In 2016, when we had a new presidential election, the United States of America received in office a president that many people could not believe. Many people said, "That's not my president," denied it completely, or sat in a state of even greater anger and hatred because of it, feeling more divided from the others, the other side, the supporters, than they've ever felt before. They couldn't believe that that was the president of our country. And I say, that person is just a mirror for where our collective consciousness is at. Energetically, we're feeling more divided, fearful, greedy, overprotective of our own stuff, our own people, whatever that means, than ever before. More trapped in this mindset of scarcity. We manifested a president to match that. And now here we are 4 years later, and we've manifested a virus, an actual sickness, a dis-ease to match the energetic vibration of where we're at. And that's not saying that this is everyone's fault in blaming anyone. As a matter of fact, this is taking away the feeling of blame that somebody did this and somebody spread this and somebody knew about this and somebody planted this and what if somebody invented this on purpose for all of the things that people are saying. What if it's just the mirror for all 8 billion of us working together on this planet to create something vibrationally, whether we like it or not? And what if the thing we created was something that is quote unquote bad and scary, because that's just simply where we were directing our thoughts. What if we created it, but it doesn't mean that we're bad? It just means we were misguided, and we have been for a little while now. What if at the root of all of this, everything is okay? We're all just souls, and we're all still learning. Everyone on this planet, including you, including me, will die. We all know that death is an inevitable part of life. Most people on this planet walk around, and we're really, really afraid to die. Most of us have this underlying fear vibration living at our core, but we often don't consciously think every single day about death. And yet we walk around with this vibration of, that's the end. Of that's the end. That's the end of my story. That's when I get cut off. But what if death was just the beginning? What if all the things that we know scientifically, mathematically, energetically, and spiritually now, that energy cannot be created or destroyed, what if that's true? And if it is, then how could you ever end? And furthermore, if there is this divine orchestration of the cosmos, if you have a soul up there that is love, that is so much pure love, a higher self watching you that loves you no matter what you do, no matter what you get into, no matter what's going on Earth, if you do have that part of you that just knows and just loves because it is love, do you think that that soul makes mistakes? Do you think that that soul would die at the wrong time? This is a very uncommon perspective that I'm presenting here. And so I don't ask you to listen to what I'm saying and believe it. There's no belief involved here. I just ask you to open your mind with me to the potential, the what if perspective, as I'm doing and asking myself, what if my soul will die and live exactly when and it in which body it intends to? If my soul wants me here as Taryn right now, well, that makes perfect sense because I'm here as Taryn right now. If my soul has other ideas for new lessons and new ways of existing that are going to cause me to expand and would need another physical body, need another incarnation to give me more contrast, more awareness that will teach me other lessons, well, what if my soul was smart enough to know exactly how to divinely pull me out of the focus inside of this vessel, this human called Taryn, and bring me into my next chapter in a new life? Essentially, what I'm saying is, what if nobody dies at the wrong time? Because what if death doesn't even really exist in the way that we think it does? What if? Even those of us that choose to lean away from any sort of quote-unquote spirituality, any sort of even energy work or awareness of that which is unseen, connection with the unseen realms, the higher dimensions, even somebody who leans away from that, the idea of past lives, of reincarnation, from all of it. It's common knowledge that has been scientifically proven and energetically proven. We can feel this within our own body if we're sensitive to it. But we all know that fear lowers your immune system. And yet, we're drinking the poison as if it's the last drop of water on the earth. Yeah, that's what it is. We're drinking the poison because we don't think there's anything else for us to drink. So we're looking around and we're feeling the fear and we're seeing the fear. The fear has manifested. The fear is here. You're right.
But we're focusing on it. We're saying, oh, I see it. Oh my God, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Wait, I'm afraid. Well, of course. Like, of course, dear one, of course you're afraid. You're focusing on nothing but the fear. And that's not your fault. That's what you're seeing around you. Because collectively, that's where we're at. Collectively, we've manifested something with our fear called this virus that we're all worried about catching. And yet, this virus, like a parasite, is paradoxically growing even more because we created it, and now it's creating its own strength by perpetuating the spread of even more fear around people. It's a fear monster. But what if fear isn't something to run away from or be afraid of, but rather it's just something to realize is one end of a spectrum that can simply be gaze lifted and turned the other way? Because deep in my core right now, I feel as though the energetic intensity is turned up on our planet. Things are more intense. The water's boiling, but, what if that's a blessing? What if that gives us the opportunity, instead of sitting in the middle, going through our daily lives, not thinking about things, not connecting with ourselves emotionally, intuitively, not healing, not recognizing our patterns that are keeping us limited, even though we have the potential to be pure joy at any given moment? What if we're being given an opportunity to lift our heads from the trap, what some people like to call the rat race of life, that we can all naturally fall into because our society is structured to support an energetic rat race for people, a system, an institutionalized way? Again, that's not the system itself is horrible. That's just the structure right now in the moment, which can be changed just like everything else. What if this is the catalyst for that change? Because the temperature's turned up. So we can't just sit in the water, just sit here chilling out, not thinking about anything, not doing the work, not looking at ourselves a little deeper, not even connecting with ourselves past the ego brain, talking all day, worried about things, fighting with people. Now we have an opportunity to choose which end of the spectrum we want to lean towards. We are being activated. We are being called to action naturally. The energy of the cosmos is saying you're ready. Start to make a choice. Start to be a conscious creator of your life. What do you want? Do you want the fear or do you want the love? Because what if the universe loves you and supports you and also knows that you are powerful enough that whatever you want, you shall have. If you want to choose to focus on the fear, and that's your vote, that's the ballot that you cast, what if the universe is perfect enough to make sure that that's what you get? More things that match the vibration of that. Likewise, if you want to smile, if you want to say, I know who I am, and I love this moment, if you even want to say, I don't care about anything else going on right now, I don't care about the bad, in this moment I'm just going to sit here and think about how much I love my mom, my dad, my brother, my new kitten, my friends, the sky above me, the sun shining on my face, the beautiful season of spring that is just blossoming for everyone right now as we're coming out of this winter. I love the feeling of feeling good. I love the things that I'm creating in my own life. I love how I just work towards what I want. And when I go after a goal, I always go after it 100%. I love myself for that. I love myself for finding a smile on hard days. What if you just sat here and thought about love? And let it become a game, not just meditating quietly, nothing on your brain. What if it became a game of just overjoyed love? What if you did that and just noticed how it felt? Because if you think about it, What could you possibly have to lose by choosing love? In any moment, we have the potential to choose where we put our energy and our focus. If we choose love, really, what could possibly go wrong? Well, it's kind of a paradox because within the vibration of love, fear is forgotten. Fear is left far, far, far down below that. Fear isn't part of an equation anymore. It doesn't have to be. And so, what if you just tried it? This is a time of a lot of choice and a lot of power for us right now. I was speaking to a friend on the phone today, specifically about the energy of the world, and I had this vision of this metaphor. Us humans right now, we are sitting in a room while those around us, the collective around us, all the other hundreds of people in the room, are actively sitting there and they're drinking the Kool-Aid. There's no more, what if everyone drinks the Kool-Aid? What's going on? This, propaganda this, propaganda that. Everyone in the room is drinking the Kool-Aid right now, or so it appears. Just as everyone is talking about this virus right now, or so it appears. And not only are they drinking their own Kool-Aid? But it's true. I acknowledge you and I acknowledge myself because this is healing for me too to have this conversation. People aren't just drinking it for themselves. They're handing you a cup and say, drink it too. Aren't you scared? What are you doing to prepare? This is bad. This is so bad. Drink the Kool-Aid. Talk to me about it. Let's hang out. Let's have some Kool-Aid together. Let's connect over Kool-Aid. And the part of you that so badly wants that soul connection, that's what we all want, wants to feel close with the people around you, naturally, that's a human instinct. Nothing wrong with that. Well, the easiest way to connect with the people around you is to match the vibration of where they are. Then you're on a resonant shared wavelength. But if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're a warrior. We're all warriors, but if you're aware of the fact that you're a warrior, you realize in that room, even though everyone is drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, here, drink this, you know that you don't want to do it. And you also know that you not wanting to do it is actually because you know it's not going to benefit you or anyone else for you to drink the Kool-Aid. So I'm speaking to the part of you that's saying, why would I drink the Kool-Aid? Even if it's a small voice in the back, while your regular voice does go on talking with everyone about the Kool-Aid, about the fear, about preparation, about what's coming. I'm speaking to that voice, however small, that's saying, I don't want to do it. And I'm saying, good. Whatever that intuitive voice is telling you to do, it's good. What if that's the voice of your soul, the one that knows, the one that understands? And that soul isn't going to guide you wrong. Yet I'm acknowledging that this is incredibly difficult to put into practice, but that all of this spiritual, the self-work, the books we've read, the meditations we've done, yoga classes we've been to, the time spent connecting in nature, the time connecting with ourselves. Maybe you've had a mentor, maybe you've had a teacher, maybe you have listened to so many spiritual podcasts that you're like, I got this whole spirituality thing down, I got it, I got all the concepts. What if that was you teaching yourself, preparing yourself, building your strength? And now? Now you get to put it into practice. Now you have the opportunity to sit in the room and to choose love so much that you don't drink the Kool-Aid. And you know what's so beautiful about not drinking the Kool-Aid? You don't even have to do what those around you are doing, trying to get you to drink their Kool-Aid. They will see you not drinking the Kool-Aid, and naturally, they will wonder, wait, does that mean I don't have to do it either? Does that mean it's okay if I don't buy into the hysteria and the fear either? And you don't have to tell anyone to do or to not do a darn thing. You don't have to say anything. You can sit there and you can be love and not drink the Kool-Aid. And those around you just might look at you and say, wow, maybe I could be free too. And then with that little shift, they can start to listen to their own soul, because once the soul gets even that much of a voice, what if then, once it realizes that you're listening, that you're connecting with that part, that soul will begin to speak louder and louder and louder and louder until those around you who are inspired by your living in love have suddenly, without even realizing what's happening, turned up the voice of their own voice of love within. What if love could be just as contagious as fear? What if you could be love and walk outside and those who pass you could catch your love? Could just be sprinkled with a bit of your love and then take it. Take it with them energetically and let it become whatever it'll be for them. What if? What if there's nothing to do or to be done? Throughout human history, and I know we've all seen examples in our own lives, in books and movies, probably maybe with yourself too. But when humans are faced with their own mortality, with the idea of death, often they are inspired into what some people call a spontaneous awakening, a sudden revelation of perhaps what comes clear to them as being the true meaning of life. A sudden revelation of who they really are and what they really want. They want love. That's all they ever wanted, and they realize that. And naturally, all the arguments, the fear, the disagreements with even the closest members of their family, the problems that they used to have, the fighting, the energy of the fight, it just disintegrates. And they float into almost an angelic state of being, because in being faced with the fact that this life too shall end, ending meaning this time in this physical body shall end, the adventure never will, and being faced with that inspires them to realize that this is it right here. There's no tomorrow to save your tokens up for. There's no tomorrow that will be made better by fighting today. There is no tomorrow that you can fix by suffering and fighting and disagreeing and being afraid today. And oftentimes when people are faced with death, they receive a terminal illness, they're sent into battle, there's some sort of illness around them that seems inevitable to catch when people are telling themselves that story. Again, they are brought closer to the awareness of death. It's brought to their conscious mind that they are mortal and they too shall die. Even though they've always known that, it comes up. It becomes front and center. And when that happens, oftentimes, that's what people need to break the shackles and to just lift their face up to the light enough to realize it had been there all along. And once you've been touched by that, there's really not much else to do. It's the paradox of realizing that just by lifting your face to the light, You didn't create the light. The light has been there all along. You've just chosen to connect with that which has always been there. There are many ways to look at the global situation right now. And so I'll leave you with just one perspective. A question. What if this was an opportunity to break the shackles, to lift your head enough to realize that there was light there, and then to live in it? To live in it right now, here on planet Earth in this lifetime. What if this contrast, this controversy, was the gift of your soul because you're ready to know what you know? What if? I love you. All is well.